This is Eyewitness News Up Close with Diana Williams.
These are personal choices that I have made, and I shouldn't have to keep explaining them.
But it won't go away. Salacious details about Jeanine Pirro's personal life. She is determined to fight back, but can she save her political career? Good morning and welcome to Up Close. I'm Diana Williams. As far as political bombshells go, this was a big one. Republican Attorney General candidate Jeanine Pirro admitted last week that she was under federal investigation for planning to secretly record her husband because she thought he was having an affair. The announcement coming just as a news report about the probe was to go public and just weeks before the November election. Jeanine Pirro is no stranger to controversy, and she says she is ready and willing to fight back. She is our guest this morning. Good to have you here.
Thanks.
How are you holding up?
I'm fine. It's nice to be here. It's okay. Nice to be here with you.
Okay. I know it's been a hard couple of days.
Well, it certainly has been interesting. It is not the kind of thing that you expect is going to happen during the course of a campaign.
It's been a rough campaign, though. In a lot of ways.
It has.
It's been a rough
time. But you know what you do, Diana? You deal with the issues. You confront them head on. You're honest with the voters. You're honest with New Yorkers. And you keep going forward. And you hope that at the end of the day, they understand that there's only one candidate here who's got the experience and the qualifications to be New York's next attorney general.
Well, on that point, you saw the headlines in the paper. Headlines showing you with Lisa Santangelo. That had to have been hard to see that, and for your kids too. But is she the other woman? Is this the woman?
Look, you know what? These are salacious stories about people's private lives, and I'm not going to feed into this craziness. I'm not going to comment on the state of my marriage. I'm not going to keep talking about it. And as I said just the other day, you know, I'm tired of explaining about my marriage, and I'm not going to feed into that. I think the most important thing that we can do, Diana, is to confront and deal with the issues that New Yorkers are concerned about, whether it's property taxes going through the roof, whether it's the safety of their children from sexual predators, and that's what I want to talk about. Yeah. But the press isn't.
I know, and this is, you know, reportedly a friend of yours who's on the front page there with you. I mean, you two together, so.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, but that's all personal, and I'm not going to go into it, Diana.
Okay, let's talk about the investigation. You've called for an independent investigation, and you've written a letter to U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. Have you heard back from him?
No, but I suspect that he is getting the letter today. Look, Diana, when you have leaks of sealed court documents, of wiretaps, that were recorded well over a year ago and are leaked within 40 days of a statewide election, then what you've got is an attempt to smear a statewide candidate, and it is really an affront to democracy and to the electoral process. I've asked the Attorney General to appoint a special prosecutor, not someone who is, you know, involved
somebody
in this case, someone independent, and do it fast.
You've asked for 20 days.
Yeah, I want this done, and I want it done fast. The New Yorkers deserve it, and I deserve it.
You have implied that the assistant U.S. Attorney, Elliot Jacobson, is behind this. Is that who you believe is behind this?
Well, look, and that's what I'm asking is for the, you know, Attorney General to tell us what this is about. But first and foremost, I want my name cleared. I want them to look at me hard. I am not afraid of what they're going to find, because they're not going to find anything that was in any way improper. But, you know, this same prosecutor who was assigned to this case was the same one who prosecuted my husband. There were leaks 7 years ago, things received by the media and the press before they were even received by lawyers. I mean, this is a kind of thing that we cannot tolerate.
Do you think it's Elliot Jacobson who's doing this?
I'm a prosecutor. I put my evidence where my allegations are. But I want someone to look at this. I think the timing is suspect. I think it stinks. I think
that why is that office out to get you?
You'd have to ask, you know,
because
the people there.
You know that this is an office filled with Republican appointees. You're a Republican. They're Republicans. You're all supposed to get along. So people are saying, why would they'd be out to get you?
When I was a prosecutor, people would approach me all the time and say, I want you to investigate this person or that person or an adversary or a candidate. And they'd have no evidence, but they wanted to be able to say, you know, this person is under investigation. I was ethical. I understood the need for evidence, and what I did was I wasn't an unwitting accomplice in an effort to try to tar someone's reputation. So, you know, I can't speak to motives, but what I can tell you is the timing is suspect, that the only crime that occurred here is the leaking of sealed wiretaps, and I am not going to take it, you know, sitting down. What I want is a investigation, an appointing of a special prosecutor, an appointment of a special prosecutor, and I want this done fast. Mm-hmm.
This all came about because of this conversation that you had with Bernard Kerik. And you were talking to him and venting, as you have said, because you were upset about your husband. Was this the only time that you discussed this with Kerik?
No, I'm sure I had several conversations with Bernie. You know, I met Bernie when he was the police commissioner in New York City. I was the DA in Westchester. And, of course, 9/11, he was a hero to everyone in New York. And he's been my friend for many years. And
so why did you choose him, though?
Because he was a friend and because... This was a personal, private matter, Diana, and it certainly is not something that should be, you know, within the review of the federal government, who's got far more things to investigate, from terrorism to gangs.
Granted that, but this happened in 2005, these conversations mm-hmm. with him. In 2004, it was kind of pretty much common knowledge that Bernard Kerik was under investigation. Were you not aware of that?
Yeah, well, you know what? That was all a matter of public record. But Bernie was a friend that I had respect for. You know, now
so
we look at it.
You never suspected that the government might be wiretapping him.
You know what? I wasn't afraid of what I was saying. I was a woman who was angry, who was venting to a friend, who talked about doing something that I didn't do, all right, and is now the subject of a federal investigation. I mean, this is the kind of thing that we've seen over and over again. You smear someone, and then after the campaign, it goes away. I am demanding, the voters of this state are demanding, that they get an answer as to what happened. Nothing happened that was wrong. I know I'm going to be cleared, but I'm not going to be in a position where I'm going to let this just keep going on. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, then I want someone to look at who leaked this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly a question everybody does want answered.
And they're entitled.
Your conversation with him, though, any regrets about what you said? Now that it's,
sure.
Particularly now that it's so public.
You know, Diana, you don't expect, you know, a conversation that you have with someone that, you know, is a friend, which is why you reached out in the first place.
And I'm sure you don't expect it to be made public, as it has been.
Of course
but
not.
You did say some things.
Yeah.
Particularly about the job of Attorney General.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that a lot of things that I said that do I wish I could take them back? Absolutely. But I was angry, but the bottom line is there was no crime committed here. This is a woman who suspected that her husband, you know, was having an affair, and I wanted him followed. I wanted to know. And, you know, I reached out to a private investigator. Why is the federal government getting involved in the personal lives of married couples? This is a waste of taxpayers' money, Diana.
But a lot of Republicans support the idea of wiretapping, particularly warrantless wiretapping.
Oh, no, I don't.
You don't?
Absolutely
not. Because I was wondering, how has this changed your views
not
on wiretapping?
Let me tell you something. I've been a prosecutor, a judge, and a DA for 30 years. I have signed wiretap orders as a judge, and I have sought them as a district attorney. They need to be court authorized. There needs to be, you know, the appropriate probable cause and all of the requirements.
But I'm assuming that these were court authorized, right?
Oh, you're talking about on Bernie?
Yeah. I'm assuming that those were court authorized.
I have no way of knowing, so, but I'm sure they were.
Right. So, and yet they've become public. So it hasn't changed your mind at all about even just the idea of wiretapping people in general?
No.
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 You still feel like it's a good tool for criminal investigations?
I think it's something that we need for criminal investigations. I don't have a problem with that. Look, I understand the law. I understand that we need to be responsible, and that's why I'm so outraged. The fact that someone would take sealed wiretaps, sealed court documents, that is a felony, and leak it to a media outlet at the point where we're within 40 days of an election is an outrage. That's not what America's about.
Do you think we'll find out before the election who did leak this?
I'm not as concerned about that as I am about clearing my name. Talking about doing something when I was angry that I had a right to do that I didn't do. And so I want my name, you know, I've worked very hard, Diana, for 30 years. You know, I started one of the first programs for battered women in the nation. I fought for abused children, for neglected seniors. I want to make sure, and I've prosecuted environmental crimes. I want to do good things for the people of this state the way I've done it in Westchester. And this is terribly, terribly disappointing. And it's very disturbing that government, you know, that is in such power there, that this kind of thing is illegally released.
But you aren't naive about how politics works. You know it can be a blood sport, right?
I know it's rough and tumble. I've run for office 4 times, Diana. Elected 4 times under some very difficult circumstances. But politics is different from law enforcement. We expect people in law enforcement to follow the law. We expect them to respect the process. And that didn't happen here. And that's an outrage. And I am outraged. And I think that by allowing this to just, you know, fester, I'm not going to let it go away. I've been a fighter my whole career. You know, I fought for issues that are cutting-edge issues before people talked about them. I'm certainly going to fight for myself, and I'm certainly going to fight for New Yorkers.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk more about your determination to stay in this race. We're going to take a short break and continue our conversation with Jeanine Pirro. We'll be right back after this.
There is no way, when I have the opportunity to be the first woman attorney general in the history of this state, that I am going to be pushed out of a race because somebody wants to delve into the personal lives of my husband and myself. I'm not going to let that happen. I'm standing up for myself, and I'm standing up for women.
Determined and feisty. Welcome back. We are joined this morning by Republican candidate for New York State Attorney General Jeanine Pirro. National Organization of Women has actually come out in support of you. They have praised you for fighting back. That's a good endorsement there. And a lot of women are saying, you know, stay in there, stick with it. You've gotten a lot of emails and a lot of response from women regarding this, haven't you?
Yes. Tremendous response. And first of all, there's not even a thought that I'm not going to continue to fight in this race. But I think that the support, and it's really even surprising to me, the support has been overwhelming, Diana. I mean, women, men, Democrats saying, you know what, Jeanine, what's happening here is wrong. We see through this. We support you. And it's overwhelming. I mean, the emails, the phone calls, it is an indication that people understand that politics is a blood sport.
Would this be happening to you if you were a man?
I don't know.
You've thought about that, haven't you? You've thought about...
Yeah, in the quiet of the night, Diana, I think about a lot of things. I don't know, you know, but look, these are the rules. You know, this is the situation I'm in. I have to, you know, continue to fight within this framework, whether it's different for men or not. I mean, look, I was the first woman to try a murder case, the first woman county judge, the first woman DA, the first woman president of the New York State DAs, and I intend to be the first woman attorney general of the state of New York. So I have been in situations where women have not been. Mm-hmm. And I'm accustomed to things being a little different, and that's just the way it is.
And here's the question I think women everywhere are asking, and they've certainly asked me, and we've discussed it. Why do you stay with your husband? You've been married 31 years now, but why? I mean, you've been through so much with him. Why are you still standing by your man?
Well, I'm standing by my family. I have a family that I love. I have 2 great kids. My daughter's in school and college, and my son is still at home. And the truth is that, you know, our private lives are just that. They are private lives. And I believe that I need to be judged not by whether or not I stay in a relationship or not, but by what I've done for people. But I don't cut and run, Diana. I don't turn my back on my family. You know, over the years, people have said, well, if you did this, you could have done that. You know, if you left, you... That's not who I am. I believe in family. I have fought for New York families for 30 years.
But even some of those cases I know you've done are battered women cases, and mm-hmm. sometimes I'm sure you've said you need to leave him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there are cases where women do need to leave their husbands. You accept that.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, there's no comparison. We're talking battered women.
Right. Right.
And I'm talking about things that are personal and private. Married couples all have issues and problems. You know, marriage is not easy. But I'm not going to turn my back on my family. I still have a son at home. And I've said before that, you know, this is a personal choice and decision that I've made. And I shouldn't have to keep explaining it, Diana. You know, I shouldn't.
Your son, he is at home. You have a daughter at college right now. How are they holding up? How are they handling this? And how did you talk to them about this?
This is tough stuff, Diana. It really is. And my kids have been through a great deal, and they are very anchored. You know, they have a family where they can come home, and there's a lot of affection, and there's a lot of understanding. There's constant contact. Look, you don't want to open the newspaper and look at these things, but, you know, it's life, and life has a way of dealing certain cards. And as a parent, I have to make sure that my kids are in a position to be able to deal with it, to understand it, and understand that a lot of this is about politics. If
have they said to you, Mom, just quit. Get out of this. This
no.
is too tough. Mom,
no.
this is too much.
Just the opposite. My kids are fighters like I am, and I'm very proud of them. They're like, Mom, go get it. You got to win now. You got to win. My kids are very supportive. I have a great family,
and
Diana.
Is your husband being supportive?
I'm
of you
very
right now?
Proud of my kids. I am proud of my family. I believe in family. I have fought to keep my family together. It hasn't been easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you stay in the race, though? You keep talking about being determined. Rudy Giuliani pulled out of a fundraising event for you. And yet you are getting a lot of support in other areas. Is the Republican Party going to stick with you?
Oh, absolutely. We've gotten support from all of the leaders.
Governor Pataki seems to be.
Governor Pataki is there, and, you know, he is supporting the fundraiser on October 3rd. We've got Senator Joe Bruno, Mike Long, Frank McKay from the Independence Party, Steve Mnarik. All of them are rallying behind me as they did all along because they understand that my personal life is not an issue that the voters care about or that the federal government should be involved in. But, you know, they understand that I am the most experienced, qualified person to be the Attorney General.
But do you also think people are seeing you now as more of a sympathetic person, you know, feeling sympathy towards you, rather?
You know what I think, Diana? I think that this causes people to look at their own lives and say, mm-hmm. you know what? I've got issues, too. Mm-hmm. And she has issues, but she is a professional. I will go out, as I've done for 30 years, and continue to do the job and run an office as I did when I was DA that had excellent results. The voters have looked at me repeatedly, 4 times, and they've said, you know what, she's been through some tough stuff, but she does a darn good job. And that's why they return me to office time and time again. So you know what, I've got issues that I have to confront, as we all do, but I'm a professional.
Mm-hmm. They say in life, everybody has a story. You learned last week that you were being investigated. 2 FBI agents came to your house. You were shocked?
Stunned. Stunned, Diana.
You didn't believe it?
No, I really didn't.
You didn't believe it?
I really
And they
didn't.
Issued a subpoena at that point, right?
Well, they...
Why did they choose 10 o'clock at night to do that?
You'd have to ask them. They told me to get out of the car. You'd have to ask them.
I mean, isn't that something that would generally be done during the course of the day? I mean, they know where to find you.
You'd have to ask them why they chose to do it that way.
So there you are at 10 o'clock at night. You've been handed a subpoena. You go back into your house. At that point, is that when you talk to the family, or did you wait till the next day? How did you handle that?
Honestly, I was numb. I was numb. I knew that nothing had been, you know, done that was improper, that I vented about doing something that I didn't do and I could have done legally. I mean, even the newspapers and law professors are saying even if she did it, there's no crime there. And that's why I want Alberto Gonzalez to appoint a special mm-hmm. prosecutor. Mm-hmm. I want my name cleared. I want to go into this election with people knowing that, you know what, she does. What happened to her is unfair, that she did nothing wrong. I am not going to just go away or have people say, well, you know, we're not real sure about her. Uh-uh. I'm too proud of what I've done over the years, Diana, and I'm going to stand and fight. First, to clear my name. That's most important. But after that, how did this stuff get leaked, and why?
Have you heard from Bernard Carrick?
I haven't spoken to him.
You have not spoken to him. And what was your husband's reaction?
You know, I think that his reaction was of concern for me. You know, I mean, and you know, he's been very supportive.
Do you believe he was having an affair?
I'm not going into that. I mean, I think I've said it before. I thought he was, I suspected, and, you know, I wanted to know. You know, I don't know that there are many women who, if they suspected, wouldn't want to know.
Do you ever think, boy, I wish I could turn the clock back and that you had just remained the district attorney in Westchester County?
No. I don't look back, Diana. No. Life, you know, you have to deal with the issues that life presents you, and you can't cower from them and say, gee, you know, if I didn't do this, you know, if I were back there in the cocoon, it would be fine. No, I did what I wanted to do as DA. You know, I started one of the first internet pedophile sting operations, and at the time it had 100% conviction rate. We showed New Yorkers the lures that predators use to access our children. You know, we fought to protect the environment. We prosecuted cases where seniors were victimized. All the stuff that I want to do as AG. And for me, and by the way, one of the most important things I did that I was most proud of was I fought for a hate crimes law in this state. And when I was president of the New York State DAs, it was signed. And I've done some great things. But I think for everything, Diana, there's a season. And for me, it was time to move.
Mm-hmm. You've only got, 5 weeks about till the election. Do you think this is going to stay on the front pages? Or is the media going to let this go, or do you think you're going to have to keep fighting this? Can you get back on message?
Well, you know, I think the fact that they're not even talking about, you know, this taping that never occurred, and now we're just dealing with salacious stuff is just an indication that, you know, the first thing is off the front pages. And I think it'll go on for a few days, but I am on message. I have been continuing to campaign. I've been continuing to go to public events.
And what's the reaction when you go to a public event since this happened?
Very, very supportive. Democrats, Republicans, it's amazing. It is amazing to me. People say, you know, Janine, we understand what happens in politics. You know, that people are smeared, reputations are destroyed. And I understand that too. You know, I've been in politics for many years. I know that it is a blood sport. But at the same time, voters are smart. They've reelected me in Westchester when I've been through a lot of stuff. They know I can do the job, and they know that I'm going to work hard for them.
And what about people upstate? You're headed upstate this weekend. How do you think the reaction is going to be up there?
Well, they've already called and they've said to me, Janine, we can't wait for you to get here. And Diana, not for nothing, but I am from upstate. I'm from Chemung County, which is in the southern tier of New York, for those of your viewers who may not know where that is. And so I get tremendous support when I go upstate. And they're, you know, looking forward to seeing me tonight.
Okay. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
This is probably the nastiest we've seen in New York local politics. You seem to be weathering the storm.
So, I'll be fine.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
We do want to remind our viewers that Janine Pirro and her Democratic opponent, Andrew Cuomo, will square off in their first televised debate on Sunday, October 15th. It will take place right here on Channel 7 at 9 a.m. Janine Pirro nodding her head. She has committed to this. The one-hour debate will be produced by WABC-TV, and it is sponsored by the New York League of Women Voters, Univision Television, and The Daily News. My thanks again to Janine Pirro, and we will be right back. We are joined now by Errol Lewis, who is a columnist and member of the Daily News editorial board. He's been a guest on this show before. Good to have you back again, Errol.
Good to be here.
You just got a chance to see the interview. She's feisty. She's determined. She's not backing down.
Nope, not a bit. Not a bit. And people who underestimate Janine Pirro are making a huge mistake. She's in this to the end. She's fighting. She's confident. I think what your viewers just saw was really her relaunching her campaign. And 5 weeks is an eternity. It's just over 30 days, about 37 days.
And that is an important note. 5 weeks is a long, long time. You know, you saw the headline on your paper today, The Daily News, with this other woman. But that could be, you know, a distant memory.
Oh, absolutely.
In about 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, no, absolutely. In fact, you know, the basic outlines of the Janine Pirro domestic problem, it's been in the press. It's been hashed over again and again, and it pops up as a speeding ticket here or an allegation there. This is probably the most spectacular and, in my opinion, most unfair a version of that story, but it's not new to people.
So are a lot of people feeling sympathy for her right now? Are a lot of people feeling that, you know, that this has gone a little too far?
I don't know if sympathy is the word I would use. I think understanding. You know, I mean, everybody of a certain age has at least one friend who's in a marriage or relationship that nobody else understands. And she happens to be that person. You know, she's stuck in a marriage that a lot of people don't understand. But she has said, as many of our personal friends say, mm-hmm. I'm in this to the end. I'm going to keep my family together. I'm going to honor my oath, for better or worse. And this is the worst part, but I'm going to stay in it. Mm-hmm.
What about gender differences in this? You think women are perceiving this differently than men?
Oh, absolutely. I think any woman who's ever worked in a professional setting and seen the sort of unfair treatment that people get understand the dilemma that she's going through. She has to come across as strong. She wants to be as bulletproof, as invincible as, say, a Bill Clinton, whose personal problems were, or a Rudy Giuliani, displayed all over the world, and at the same time not come across as whiny or not come across as soft. You know,
but I don't think she is coming across as whiny or soft at all.
No. But she at has all. To also defend herself at mm-hmm. the same time. You know, and so she, I think women identify with that. Also, I mean, if you think about it, how many male politicians have wives who have gotten a speeding ticket? You know, it's not in the news. It doesn't matter. This is a case where, or frankly,
or maybe there's other things that we haven't
heard
that's
about
done in the news.
Other kinds of things.
So,
exactly.
So, would this story be different?
Oh,
would
absolutely.
This be a story if she were a man?
Well, this particular one is pretty good, actually. I mean, you know, I mean, working for a tabloid, I got to tell you, this is a pretty juicy story. On the other hand, I think people also understand when there's a certain unfairness. You know, as you said, I mean, you were very nice about it in the interview, but the bottom line is federal investigators do not have to pop out of a car at 10 o'clock at night in front of somebody's home to deliver a subpoena. It wasn't necessary. It was a scare tactic, clearly. It was sort of trying to rattle her with the weight of the government. On the other hand, she's been a judge. She's been a prosecutor.
She
understands
around.
That. She's done that to one or two people herself, I'm
right.
sure, in the course of her career. So I think they may have picked the wrong person.
And isn't the conundrum here is why is this Republican-appointed office going after a fellow Republican?
Well, let's keep in mind, she was driven out of the Senate race. Remember, she was going to run for
mm-hmm.
Senate. She was not driven out by the Democrats.
Right.
She was driven out by some enemies that she has in the Republican establishment. And without, you know, speculating or calling any names, I think that's the place to look. I don't think an assistant U.S. attorney ginned this up all on his own, despite what she has said about this prosecutor who she thinks is overzealous. I don't think the kind of heavy-handedness that's been shown and the political
more than
timing.
One person here.
Well, and I think there's somebody in this that's probably off in the shadows, maybe a bit higher up than an assistant U.S. attorney who's leaking grand jury transcripts and so forth.
And it would seem that is the real issue here. If we cut all of the other titillating stuff out of this story, the real issue is who leaked this.
Well, there may be a crime here. I mean, that's
yeah.
really what it comes down to. Now, I don't think she's necessarily going to get what she wants as far as a resolution to this in 20 days. She
yeah.
has absolutely she has every right to ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that she's going to get it. It will probably, as she has suggested, be resolved sometime after the election, and that's part of that terrible unfairness. I mean, your viewers couldn't see it, but when she walked into the studio, the fact that a lot of crew members here sort of just applauded her. Separate from politics, just to see a gutsy lady stand her ground and fight back, I think a lot of people identify with that, and I think she's going to convert it to her political advantage.
Mm, we've heard about the comeback kid, those Teflon stories, you know.
Yes,
we'll see what happens. We will see what happens. Okay, election coming up. And that'll do it for this edition of Up Close. We want to thank you for watching. I'm Diana Williams. Thanks to our guests for being here with us this morning. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a good one.